Well, we are in John chapter 21, and we'll be concluding our study of John. And the title of the message is, It's Time. It's Time. So John 21, verses 1 through 25, the whole chapter. And by way of introduction this morning, Simon Peter was the leader of the disciples, but he denied the Lord. Jesus met him before this. He's going to meet him in chapter 21 by the seaside, but he met him before this in Luke 24:34, where the Bible says that the first to see the Lord after he'd risen was Peter. But we don't know what happened there. Something happened there, but we don't know. But here, Jesus restores and recommissions Peter to the ministry. And all this took place on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. So we'll look at that. And the first thing we'll see is the third time appearing. Verses 1 through 14. The third time appearing. Verses 1 through 14. So the Word of God says in John chapter 21 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So according to verse 14, this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he rose from the dead. Of course, Jesus ministered on the earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead, but he wasn't with the disciples the whole time. And so this was the third time he showed himself to them. And the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. It's called here the Sea of Tiberias, but that's what it's talking about, the Sea of Galilee. It's also called in the Bible sometimes the Lake of Gennesaret. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So Peter was there, of course. Thomas, this is doubting Thomas. This is the guy who wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. And he said, I'm not going to believe that he has risen from the dead unless I can stick my fingers in the nail prints and stick my hand in his side. And so Jesus appeared and told Thomas, go ahead and do it. See the nail prints. Touch them. Stick your hand in my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. And Thomas confessed and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's all of us. And that blessing is upon all of us who have not seen and yet believed in Christ. The sons of Zebedee were James and John. The two others were probably Andrew and Philip. So you had this small group of disciples here. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. So the disciples were actually waiting in Galilee for Jesus to appear. He told them to wait, and so they were waiting. And so Peter was a fisherman, and he said, I'm going fishing. Y'all want to come? And they said, we're coming too. And they had to catch something to eat, and it was a way to pass the time. And when Peter was called by Jesus to the ministry and to salvation, the Bible says in Luke 5:10-11, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when he had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So Jesus called them on the Sea of Galilee, and they were in a ship. And they forsook everything and followed Jesus. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. From henceforth, you shall catch men. And so that's what they'd been doing, is going after people and winning them to Christ. And so Peter is waiting on Jesus. And so he gets back in a boat and says, I'm going fishing. So he's in a similar situation to when he was called. And the Bible says they caught nothing. And it's interesting that this same thing happened when Jesus first called Peter. Luke 5:5 says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." So you have these two parallels going on. They're out fishing, and Jesus is going to show up. They've been fishing all night, and they've caught nothing. When Peter was called, initially, he was fishing all night, and had caught nothing, and Jesus showed up. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, we'll compare that to Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6, when Peter was first called. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." So now they cast the net on the right side of the ship, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, who never refers to himself as John in the Gospel of John, said unto Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. So if you have grown distant from God, it's a good thing to go back to that first miracle, that day when you got saved. That's the first miracle that Christ works in your life, is when he saves you. Well, I know there are other miracles before that. Birth is a miracle and all of that. But this is the first great miracle, that Christ saves us. And Christ is recommissioning Peter for the work of the ministry. He's making Peter remember when he and Christ first met by the sea. "And fear not," Jesus had said, "from henceforth thou shalt catch men," in Luke chapter 5 and verse 10. So he's bringing Peter back to that place. Verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, or about 100 yards, and they were dragging the net with fishes." So they were working to get this net in. They were dragging it to get the fishes in. "And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread." So Jesus already had breakfast ready. It's interesting also that here the net doesn't break. It broke before, but here it doesn't break, and they're able to drag the fish in. "And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." So this in itself was miraculous, that the net was not broken. 153 big fishes. That's a lot of fish. For those of you that fish, that's a lot of fish. "Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord." So apparently for some reason they couldn't recognize him, but they knew that it was the Lord. "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." So We've seen the third time of his appearing. Now we're going to look at three times, restoring and recommissioning in verses 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now, when he says, Do you love me more than these were the other disciples. Remember that Peter had said to Jesus, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He said, if all men forsake you, if all men deny you, I won't. And then he ended up denying the Lord three times. So Jesus asked him three times, Do you love me? Now, there's an interesting exchange of words here, and you've no doubt heard this preached on before, but we're going to talk about it this morning. When Jesus says, Do you love me? He's using the word agapao, which is a word for love. It's the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians 13. And so it is the ideal of love. It is love itself. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says that agapao, love, or the King James translates it charity, that it is kind, that it is not puffed up, it doesn't boast itself, it's long-suffering, it's patient, it's all those things. And so that's the ideal of love. And so Jesus says, do you love me like that, this high ideal of love? Do you have agape love for me? Is that how you love me? And Peter answers him with a different word. He says, Thou knowest that I love thee, and he uses the word phileo. And that is a word that means brotherly love or friendship love. And so you've got agape love, the high ideal of love, and phileo, relationship love or friendship love. So there's two views about the meaning of all this and why they're using the two different words. And so I'll give you the first view first, and this is probably the more common view. Jesus is saying, Simon, do you have a high and proper love for me? And Peter, knowing that he has failed the Lord, responds, Yes, Lord, you know that I have a common love for you like that of a brother or a friend. In other words, Peter is saying that his love doesn't measure up to Christ's ideal love because he has sinned. And he is not sure of his own love of Christ. I don't know if I love you that much, but I know that I love you like a brother or a friend. That's one view. Now we'll go to verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So each time he's asking him, Do you love me? The first time he said, Do you love me more than the other disciples? Then he says, Do you love me? And then he says, Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He's recommissioning him for the work. Now, this is the second view. Do you agapeo love me? Peter responds, Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo love you. Peter is using the more intimate word for love. Jesus says, Simon, do you love me in all that love means? Do you love me? And Peter responds, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother, like a friend. He's using the more intimate word for love. Peter wonders why Jesus won't use the same word for love, which is less formal but more intimate. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. This time Jesus uses Peter's word. Essentially, do you love me like a friend and a brother? And Peter is grieved and he says, You know that I do. So each time Jesus tells Peter to feed his flock. Peter's called to be a shepherd. He'll be the apostle to the Gentiles. He'll be a strong leader in the early church. And so Jesus is recommissioning him. Peter denied Jesus three times, and Jesus is restoring and recommissioning Peter three times. Isn't it interesting the parallels that Jesus uses here? He brings Peter to the same place, the same way that he initially called him. He has the same type of miracle take place with the fishes, and he calls him again. And then he recommissions him. Peter denied Jesus three times, so three times Peter, Jesus says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" You know, we really don't know what love is. For instance, before I got married, I told my wife, "I love you." And so it's been 16 years, long years. I told my wife, you know, the love, I didn't know what love was. I think everybody that's been married for a long time, you understand that you don't know what love is when you get married. And you grow in that. And so we really don't understand God's love for us. And Jesus is bringing Peter back, and he's going to recommission him for the ministry. And then he says something interesting to Peter in verse 18. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Now the Life Application Study Bible says this was a prediction of Peter's death by crucifixion. So tradition says he was crucified, and tradition actually says that Peter was crucified upside down. So when he came to be crucified, they said, "We're going to crucify you." And Peter said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like Christ, so turn it upside down." And they go on to say in the Life Application Study Bible notes, despite what Peter's future held, Jesus told him to follow him. We may be uncertain and fearful about our future, but if we know God is in control, we can confidently follow Christ. And that's a mighty good thing. You just keep in mind that God is in control of facing the uncertainty of the future, and we can follow Christ. Now, the third thing we see is decision time. "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" So this is John, the author of the book. So Peter sees him following. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Perhaps Peter was jealous. After all, John had never denied the Lord. John claimed to be the disciple whom Jesus loved. Can you imagine how annoying that was if you're with the other disciples, the inner circle, and you've got this one guy that says, "I'm the disciple that Jesus loves"? You know, that'd be annoying. And so, also, John was the only disciple, the male disciple. There were females that showed up, the Marys, but he was the only male disciple that showed up at the cross. And Jesus gave him the responsibility of taking care of his mother, Mary. And I'm sure that all the disciples knew that. So Peter sees him, and he says to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So this is a great truth and a great cure for jealousy. And there's jealousy in the ministry, believe it or not. Preachers are jealous. And what is it to me if another pastor has a church that runs 1,000? I have to follow Christ and run the race that he's given to me and no one else, and so do you. Each one of you has a race to run. Paul talked about that. We each have our own individual race in the Christian life, and you have to run your race, and I have to run mine. And what is it to me if someone else is more successful? Because we're not comparing. So Jesus says, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the disciples that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? It's surprising that after Christ's resurrection at the start of the church, there was such misunderstanding and jealousy amongst preachers, amongst the apostles. They all started spreading this rumor that John would not die. I wonder why nobody asked John. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he writes it here in the book. Jesus never said that this man wouldn't die. He's talking about himself. Why didn't they just go and ask John? Did Jesus tell you you wouldn't die? But they didn't. They just talked about him. So it shouldn't surprise us when there's jealousy and misunderstanding today. By the way, if you ever have questions about somebody, it's always best to go ask them. Don't just talk about them. Ask them what's going on, because they can tell you better than the person who's telling you. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. So John wrote the book of John. He never calls himself by name, but he says, we know that this testimony is true. And then the final verse, and this is just a tremendous verse to sum up everything. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So the Bible only contains a small but very important bit of what Jesus did while he was on the earth. And John said at the end of the last chapter in John 20, 30 through 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So John wrote particularly about things that would help people to believe in Christ. There were a lot of things he could have written about, but this is what he wrote, and this is what God wanted him to write. So, in conclusion, maybe you are like Peter today. Maybe you're away from God and not what you used to be as far as spiritual things are concerned. Today is a great day to come back and begin where you left off. If you ever get backslidden, go back to your conversion. Go back to that place where you were converted. And come back to the Lord. Peter went back to fishing in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus met him there. And remember the place if you can. Not everybody can remember where they got saved. You remember getting saved, but not necessarily the place. Maybe you were really young. But if you can remember when you got saved, remember that. And remember that God saved you and how you wanted to serve him then. And come back to him now. It's a good thing to, you can slide back the same way you backslid. So if you left off doing something, maybe you were reading the Bible every day and you quit reading the Bible and that's how it began. it's good to just go back and start reading the Bible every day again. And if you start with that, you'll see how God will start to work in your life. We see in this passage God's great love for Peter in wanting to restore him and use him again, even after Peter had denied him and cursed and swore and said, "I don't know this man." And so we see God's great love for us, which we will never really understand this side of heaven. How God, despite the fact that we sin and we mess up and we do things that we shouldn't do, how God wants to restore us and use us. So come back to Him today. And if you have friends and loved ones that are backslid or friends that aren't saved, loved ones that aren't saved, share the gospel with them during this Christmas season, these next few weeks. It's a good time to invite them to church, to tell them your testimony, to invite them to the Lord in some way. And God will use that. A lot of people's hearts are opened around Christmas when they're not thinking about those things the rest of the year. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Gospel of John. We thank you for the blessing it's been to us as we've studied it over these many weeks. And we do pray now that if anyone here has not believed in you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day that they would believe in you as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior and receive you into their life and be born again. We pray for those of us who have friends and loved ones that aren't saved, that need you. We pray that we would be able to share the gospel with them this Christmas season. We pray for those who are backslidden, those who have loved ones that are backslidden, that you would please draw them back to you and show them your love and show them that you want to use them again for your glory. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name.